Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and co-host tonight, Jackson Courtney. Jackson, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Drew. Thanks for having me tonight.
Wow, it's a pleasure to have you, you know? So one of the young up-and-coming financial advisors at the consulate, a Towson graduate, a member of the Towson golf team, right? You want to talk about golf tonight? We can do that. Jackson is you were one of the top players at Towson in between the years of what, 2016 and 20?
2017 and 2021.
22. You were a COVID baby.
Yeah.
You were a COVID graduate. You got to stay at home and, you know.
Yeah.
And they stole some of your golf tournaments. Did they let you play?
That's right. That's right. I played, I think, 29 events while I was there. But, you know, they took that COVID year from me. So
did they take a whole year for they wouldn't let you play outside, you know, and so forth?
That's right. We had to play with a mask on sometimes.
That's downright humorous, I got to admit, you know. Now, you know, we didn't know as much back then, so I can't blame them, I guess. But anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, we address any personal financial planning question. It doesn't matter. If it deals with your money, we're here to address it with you and help you. If you want questions about your taxes, there's amazing how many times I review tax returns, client-prepared tax returns, and have to show them the mistakes they're making on the return. You know, you think TurboTax is omniscient, but it isn't. It really only knows what you told it, and it only prints out what you told it. And if you don't know what to expect to get out of the return, you're not going to get a great return. So, you know, everybody thinks, well, my return's so easy. I was looking at a young lady's tax return the other day. And she said, well, my return's pretty simple, but she just forgot to put in the state tax withholdings that she had on her thing, you know. And you know, these are little things that happen when you're entering information into a tax software. And you just have to know what to expect. And that's what, you know, that's, but anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. And,
yeah, Drew, it looks like we have our first caller coming in.
Well, we'll take them in a second. I just want to tell everybody that, I published the book, The Financial Physical, about 2 weeks ago, and, it's available on Amazon. We priced it to, buy. It's $4.99 paperback, $2.99 Kindle or ebooks, and I hope that you'll get that book and learn about the things that I'm very passionate about, how this industry needs to change. It needs to change from sales mentality, which is, in my opinion, 90% of the people that call themselves financial advisors and financial consultants are salespeople. They are not trained professional financial advisors that have a comprehensive knowledge of all personal finances, especially tax and general comprehensive advice, you know, Social Security, Medicare, elder care, estate planning, income taxes, you know, investment portfolio management theories and so forth. And this is what the book talks about, and it's my life story about how I've gotten to where I am today and why I think it's so important to you. Anyway, let's go to our first caller. You got one on the line?
Yes, sir. We have Albert in Essex. Hey, Albert, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys.
How can we help you?
Recently I rolled over my 401k into an IRA and funded it with treasury bills.
Okay.
was surprised to find out that in order to do that, they said that I had to take, I usually take my MRD in December. They said I, and before I could do that, I had to roll it over now. So I guess it doesn't make any difference, but it was a surprise.
So now, how old are you?
85.
85? You sound like you're barely 65, sir.
All right. Thank you. Good
morning. So you just rolled over your 401k at 85?
I know. I know. I should have. I retired a long time ago, and I just kept it in there.
But the rule is, they're correct. The rule is that you cannot roll over a required minimum distribution. And since you had a required minimum distribution from the 401k, you couldn't roll over anything until you dispersed your required minimum distribution. So technically, they're right on that one.
I'm not quite, it was a surprise, but I mean, if I had to, I had to. But that's not my question. I'll just give you a little background. So now I have an IRA with Treasury bills, okay? Now, I know that Treasury bills are not subject to state and local taxes, right?
Well, yeah, but if they're in a 401k or IRA, everything's subject to state and local taxes, regardless of the character of how it's created.
That's where I made my mistake. But it really, you know, I got Treasury bills at 5%. Expiring December of this year, and I guess from what you're telling me, and nobody has been able to tell me that yet.
Well, if you did tax exempt Maryland state bonds, they'd be fully taxable coming out of an IRA. The characteristic of how the investment is invested has no impact on how it comes out of an IRA. It's fully taxable. If you want to ask any more questions, you're going to have to hold on for me because I got to take a pause with traffic. I'm going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Jackson Courtney, and we're doing an open show, 410-922-6680. And I just want to remind everybody that I published the book, The Financial Physical, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. And you can get that on Amazon for $4.99 and Kindle $2.99. We priced it low because we don't want to make a profit off of it. We want to get the message out. We want you to read the message and understand how important it is that what the public needs is professional financial advisors, people who can truly help them, not just with investments, but also with all areas of comprehensive personal financial advice. Nobody should be making 1% of your assets, and the only thing they're doing is investing them. You know, you can get investments done for 0.1%, 0.2% of assets under management. If somebody's charging you 1%, they should be a comprehensive advisor doing tax planning, estate planning, retirement planning, insurance planning, company benefits, Medicare, Social Security. They should help you with everything like a general practitioner or medicine. And that's what the book's all about. And that's the message we want to get out. And I'd hope you'd get that book, The Financial Physical. But right now, I got to go to some callers. Did he want us to hang on for a second or two?
No, he left. So we're going to go to Eugene in Columbia.
He left us? Oh, man. I don't have to talk to him. Anyway, we're going to Eugene, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, Eugene.
I'm not going to leave you.
There's Gene. Gene, man.
Jackson, I'm a Towson graduate, too, but I got you beat by 53 years.
Year did you graduate, Gene?
Technically in the middle of 1969 and 70.
Wow. I graduated in 79, so you got me, too.
Yeah. You're a young guy.
You were there when it was Towson State Teachers College.
Well, I think it changed in the late 60s. It became Towson College. And then maybe 5 years after I left, it was Towson University.
Oh, okay.
And my wife, who's sitting 40 feet away watching TV, is a graduate, too. But she's a spry 3 years younger.
There you go. She graduated when my brother graduated from Towson.
I got a timely question for you.
Okay.
Explain for all the listeners out there to reassure them, how do a couple, husband and wife, how, and I think this is true, there's a way you have to title things at a bank that gives you beyond a $250,000 FDIC insurance.
Well, husband and wife automatically get $500,000.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay, but, and I just did this with a client, husband and wife, they had $1,000,001 in a bank, and they were like panicking that but they had three children. Okay, so joint account, and they put all three of their children, one-third beneficiaries, on that joint account.
Okay.
The minute they did that, the husband got $750,000 of insurance for the three beneficiaries he had on the account. The wife got $750,000 of insurance for the three children she had on her account. And so together, they had $1.5 million. As long as all five of those people remain alive, they will always have $1.5 million of insurance. One of them dies, it changes dramatically.
Now, see, that beneficiary part I did not know of.
The beneficiary is a freaky little thing, and that's why when you put your account in the name of a revocable trust, you don't get your money right away. So if you're in a bank and you title your account in a revocable trust, everybody else gets their money on Monday. You get your money like a month or two later because they have to read your trust, figure out how many beneficiaries are in there to figure out what insurance you have on your account.
Now, this doesn't matter if you have one account jointly held at a bank or three or four.
No, it doesn't matter if you have three or four. Now, here's an interesting, freaky one, okay? So let's say Gene and his wife have an account with $500,000 in it, okay?
Yeah.
And now that's insured for $500,000. But let's say Gene then goes and sets up a joint account with his son and puts $500,000 in that account. You would expect that to be $1 million of insurance, but it is not because Gene already is insured for $250,000 on one joint account. He can't be insured for a second $250,000 on another joint account.
But could myself go out, in addition to the jointly held $250,000 account, have another $250,000 account of
in your own name? In your own name, yes.
There?
Yes, you would, and that's the freaky thing about it. So you go figure that one out. You know, you set up an individual account, you get $250,000 insurance. You set up an account with you and your wife, you get $500,000 of insurance. You set up another joint account, and you get nothing for yourself.
So I can put money into another account and have some play money. She doesn't know about it.
Well, I'll tell her about it, though. Don't worry.
Drew, come on.
Tell her, I'll tell her.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Good question. Great point that he was making. Who's up next? Let me tell everyone, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. And you're going to have to move from my clock just a little so I can always see that. Because if I break that 629 and Anita starts screaming at me, I'm not going to be a happy camper with you, Jackson, because she's vicious.
You can blame it on me.
Anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. We've got, who do we have next there, Jackson?
Next we have Steve in Owings Mills. Hey, Steve, how you doing? How can we help you?
Okay, this question is about when when you run a high balance on your credit card and how that may affect your credit rating. Now, here's the background. I have a credit rating of 850. I have an investment account of over seven figures and got a credit card about a couple weeks ago, 0% for 18 months, $35,000 limit. Now, I always pay my bills on time. I always pay my credit cards on time. I never had an account, credit card with that level of a, you know, limit. But literally, I could take 18 months of a loan in effect, $35,000, let's say I want to buy a car or something, at 0%. Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yep.
The question is, I'm also thinking of buying a house, kind of like you down in Florida. And I'd have, you know, credit review and all that. Now, if I buy a car first, $35,000 is hanging out there, and I'm intending not to pay it for about a year and a half, because I can. I'm not worried about it. Then I go and I apply to, you know, try to get a home.
So let me address this question for you, because you're bringing up a great point. And I, you know, borrowing $35,000 on a car wouldn't affect your credit score hardly at all, okay? So I wouldn't worry about that. But your point about having a high balance on a credit card, I'm going to just tell you a personal story about myself. 2 years ago, I buy this house in Florida. I have a credit score way up in the, you know, mid 800s, okay? I buy this house down in Florida, and I always, every single month, my credit card bill is paid in full well before the due date of the credit card, okay? So I buy this house down in Florida, and I say to my wife, here is a budget. Go ahead and get all the rest of the furniture and whatever you need to get that house finished and so forth. And it's a big budget, so she runs the credit card up. My credit score drops to 710 because they say I have, and at the end of 30 days, I keep paying the credit card bill off. But they drop my credit score down to 710 because I have a high credit balance. Yet my wife has like she's got an 840 credit score, and you know, she can't pay the bill unless I give her the money to pay the bill. Yet they drop me down to 710. I mean, it's just their algorithms are insane. They work for them, okay? But they are insane as to how they work from the logical mind's point of view.
So if I, let's say I went and I was
I gotta go. We'll be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show here with Jackson Courtney. And again, I just want to remind you that the financial physical book is out there in Amazon and Kindle. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's called The Financial Physical, which is a trademark name of our firm. And its story is about my life story as to how did I get from being a salesperson for what's nowadays Ameriprise in 1979 to where I am today. And why I believe that the public needs to ask and demand that if somebody's going to tell them that they're a financial advisor, that they be a true, independent, fee-only, fiduciary financial advisor. That's what the financial physical is all about. It's $4.99 for the paperback version, $2.99 for the Kindle ebook version on Amazon, the financial physical. And I'd hope that you could go out there and read that book and understand the passion that I have, why we do this radio show. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Lines are open. We do have a couple people on. Is Steve-O still online? Let's finish up his question.
Yeah, Steve's still holding for us. Steve, you there?
Yeah, so just to recap, is it your best guess that even though they gave me the card with the 18%, you know, 18 months, 0%, and they gave me the $35,000 credit limit, that if I were to say, let's buy a car with the intention to not pay it off until 18 months from now, because I wouldn't have to, that having that balance hanging...
No, I misinterpreted what you said, Steve. If you just took a car loan from Toyota or Honda, it wouldn't have any impact. But if you took a $35,000 car purchase onto a credit card,
yes,
they will hammer you.
Okay. Even though they gave me the limit, they gave me the card, and they see my account at over seven figures.
But you see, they that you're referring to is Chase or Capital One or whoever you're doing your credit card with. The ones who are running the algorithms are Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. They could care less where you got the card. They're just running their algorithms saying, wait a minute, Gene Baby just got a $35,000 credit card, and he just bopped it all the way up to $35,000. Something's wrong. Boom. We're going to put him down to $720.
Okay. Thank you so much. That would impact then rates I get if I wanted to buy a home.
Right? That's exactly what happened to me when I, you know, purchased this home and spent, $30,000-$40,000 over the 2 or 3 months. And they kept seeing these balances, and they kept saying, oh, even though I kept paying them off every month, they didn't give a darn. You know, they just kept hammering me. And every time I paid them off, sooner or later, I'd move back up to like 760. And then I take the balance back, and they'd hammer me back down to 720. And I'm thinking, what kind of ridiculous algorithms are this? But that's their algorithms, and they're sticking to them.
Even though you're proving to them you pay it off every month, wow, that's even better than what I was going to do. I was going to leave it hanging. But you paid it off every month, proving
every single month. And they just kept hammering me. So, it's a funny business. It's, if you go onto your credit card site, they probably have a simulator there. And that simulator, you can put these numbers in, and it'll tell you exactly what their algorithms are going to do. All right, so I would try that, Steve.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy, take care. Good question.
Thanks for your
question.
All right, next we're going to go to Ray.
Ray.
Hey, Ray, you there?
Yeah, true. I think I remember that you're not too keen on annuities.
That's not true. I don't dislike annuities. I just think that people ought to explain them, and no one should ever buy an annuity other than a commission-free annuity.
Well, okay, I was wrong. I have 7 annuities currently, and they total like $200,000 on each one.
And you probably bought all commission annuities, and you probably paid over $20,000 in commissions to insurance agents to buy those.
Probably, but I didn't care. I got what I wanted.
Yeah, I understand.
What I wanted to know in this environment with the bank scares, I've always been told that insurance instruments such as annuities and insurance plans are what bailed out the country in the Great Depression. So are annuities a safe thing to be in this environment?
The answer to that is probably yes and probably no. So to answer your question, the way it works is this, okay? If your annuity company were to be in trouble and go under, there's your first layer of protection gone, okay? So now your insurance company's gone under, all right? The insurance commissioners throughout the country of the United States, wherever that product had been sold, will get together and say, okay, ABC Insurance Company is under. What are we going to do? And they then go and they talk to MetLife and they talk to whoever, and they say, will you take this over and we'll do this and this to get you to take it over and guarantee these people. If they can pull that off, then you're back in business, okay? If they can't pull that off, then the insurance commissioners say, okay, is there an alternative? Can we create a company of our own and come up with a plan to bail these people out? And then they go to their insurance guarantee funds. Now, the insurance guarantee funds normally, in my opinion, are not very big, and they don't have a lot of firepower, right? Because the United States FDIC has the full implied credit guarantee of the United States government, who prints money, right? So the FDIC has the guarantee implied by the people who print the dollars. Right now, the states don't have the ability to print the dollar, and they don't have the ability to force the federal government to print the dollars. So they're stuck with whatever little firepower they have to try to figure out how to bail you out. And if they can't, then they'll come up with a package sort of like the Maryland SNLs when they went under, which they'll say, okay, we're going to give you 35% of your money back right now, but you're going to have to wait a while we figure out if we can get you the rest of your money. Something like that. That's the process that would take place. So in many ways, they're safe. But in many ways, there's no 100% firepower behind them like FDIC or something of that sort.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
You accidentally answered my next question, which was, if I have an A-rated company like North American and is paying 4.5%, and I have a company like, Ocean, and it's paying 6%, and it's B-rated, then why wouldn't I go, if it's you're warranted, your money is relatively guaranteed for $250,000, what difference does it make to me whether I take the A-rated or the B-rated? If the B-rated is paying more money, and I think you said I have a better chance of getting my money back if other companies would absorb it.
If they would, and that's a big if, because there's been plenty of insurance companies who've gone under and haven't been able to be absorbed and so forth. So you have to be careful of that. Keep in mind, too, that don't worry about the rating of the company, because Mutual Benefit Insurance Company, I believe of New Jersey, was AAA rated. So was Executive Life. They were AAA rated. And in 4 months, they went under. Go back and look at the history. 1989 for Executive Life, I believe. 1994 for Mutual Benefit Life. Fascinating stories. They were AAA rated months before, and or AA rated or something like that. And next thing you know, months later, they're trash and they're bankrupt. So don't buy those ratings and so forth. But yet each one of those was figured out how to bail them out ultimately. I would be very skeptical buying any insurance company that's offering me way out of line an interest rate way beyond what anybody else is offering. Because remember, that's what risk is all about. The reason somebody's offering 6% is because they're warning you this 2% more is coming with a lot more risk.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, Ray. Good question.
All right,
take care, Ray. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. No one's online. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We're all jazzed up now that Anita played that jazzy type music for us. I don't even know if that's jazz, is it? I have no idea. It probably isn't even close to jazz, you know? I don't even know what would be the genre of jazz. What does that mean? You know, is this jazz? Is Anita shaking her head yes or no?
She is shaking her head yes.
So this is considered jazz then, right?
Yeah,
yes. Well, I have no idea. I am not a musical guy. I'm a math guy. I'm a financial guy. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. We have a couple callers online. Let's go right to them, Jackson.
Okay, we'll start with Bill in Eastern Shore. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a tax question. So I have I fill out the standard, 1040. The standard deduction is I have a small mortgage on my house, so it's not worth it to do the itemize or anything. However, I get extra income through Airbnb, and when I was looking at the tax form, that one of the things it said was Schedule E, and then on Schedule E there was a place to deduct mortgage interest. So is that something I can do?
Yes.
And would it be the whole mortgage interest, or do I need to prorate it?
I'm going to guess that you're going to need to prorate that, because your how many days did you rent it?
It's mostly like weekends in the summertime.
So did you do 20 times a year, or did you do it 100 times?
It was in the neighborhood of 35 times.
Right. I don't do a lot of Airbnb, so I can't tell you for sure, but you probably need to prorate something out of it because, you only used it for 30-some days. Now, normally, with something like this, did you provide substantial services to them or just the room?
Well, they get, of course, the room, and then they really actually have the access to the whole house.
Well, I know they have access to the whole house, but are you making breakfast for them, providing bikes for them to ride, doing their laundry, their bed sheets and everything every day, and replacing towels and stuff like that? Or are you just saying, here's a room, you have access to the house, it's $100 a night or something like that?
Yeah, more or less that. If they ask, I have coffee and stuff like that, I'll provide, and then,
So then the way your situation works is then that's a personal residence rental. And so basically you would put the full interest down, you'd put the full taxes down, you'd put everything full down with the income coming in from that property, and the best you can do is bring it to zero.
I see. Gotcha.
That's the way that would work. Now, if you were providing services extra, you would have to file that on Schedule C, treat it as if it was a business.
Right. Right.
But because you're doing it the way you're doing it, which is merely just offering a room, here's the rate. You can use the whole house, but I ain't doing anything for you other than that you have a room and et cetera, et cetera. So that makes a difference. That's why it goes on Schedule E. And this is only true for day-to-day rentals. That's the difference. Like a hotel has to treat it as if it's a business, because they're renting it and providing substantial services to them, all right? But you doing an Airbnb, all you're doing is saying, here's a room, that's all there is.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right?
So basically it just cancels out whatever the interest was greater than the amount.
But that's fantastic, because now you just get that money tax-free. You don't have to recapture the sale of your house someday in the future, for depreciation, you took on the Airbnb and all that kind of good stuff. So I think that actually works out better. I'd rather have the tax-free cash than all that other stuff that goes with it. Okay?
Sure thing. All right.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take
thanks,
care.
Bill.
Good question.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Owen in Bel Air. Hey, Owen, how are you?
Okay. How are you tonight?
Doing
great.
Well.
Say, I just wanted to say a couple things. First, to Drew, I'm a retired property and casualty insurance agent.
Good.
And I knew your father, Andy, from his days as a claims manager for Harleysville Insurance in Towson, Maryland.
Yeah. Well, those were years ago, my friend. He left Maryland in 1976 when he became the senior vice president of claims for Harleysville.
Yes. Yep. Yet he went up to the home office in the wonderful little town of Harleysville, Pennsylvania at that time.
So were you part of the Claimsmen's Association? Is that how you knew him, or you just wrote Harleysville Insurance?
Yeah, I was an independent agent and wrote for Harleysville Insurance. And other companies were Mutual Benefit Insurance Company.
So wow.
When I was listening to your talk a few moments ago about the failure of Mutual Benefit Insurance Company, you did say of New Jersey, but I wanted your listeners to understand that there are two companies, the one that failed and another, a small property and casualty insurance company called Mutual Benefit Insurance Company out of Huntington, Pennsylvania. They write only property and casualty insurance, and they've been doing that for many, many years and are just a fine regional property and casualty insurance company writing personal lines, automobile, homeowners, umbrella, and commercial lines, general liability, workers' comp, business owners' policies, commercial auto, and so forth.
So I don't. That's great that you pointed that out.
I didn't want your listeners to get alarmed if they were insured with Mutual Benefit Insurance Company and say, "Oh, this is a company that failed," and they didn't.
No, that was Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company of New Jersey, back
correct.
In I think it was 1994 that failed. Yes. But it's amazing how many small mutual property casualty auto insurance companies in Pennsylvania there are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that for your listeners so that if any were insured by Mutual Benefit in out of Huntington, Pennsylvania, which is near State College, I didn't want them to be alarmed at some of the things that you mentioned.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, my father passed away about 5 years ago around now, and my mother's still alive at 94. She's still as feisty as ever, 4'9". Powerful little Italian woman.
Well, we always had a good relationship with your dad as the claims manager. He was somebody that if you had a questionable situation that the company was a little edgy on, you could always talk to him and say, hey, look, we think you know, you need to consider this or you need to consider that. And he was willing to listen. He didn't always agree with us, but sometimes he did. But he was always willing to listen.
Yeah, he always taught me that. He said, you know, you always have to listen to what people say. It doesn't mean you always have to agree with them, but you got to let them know you're listening. It was a great lesson.
Yep.
Anyway.
Harleysville was a good insurance company.
Yeah, until Nationwide took them over.
Yes. Well, I won't go down that road. I am a policy holder of Nationwide also.
All right, my friend. Thank you for calling. Thank you for those words.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Owen.
Bye.
All right. I don't know if we lost Drew or what, but Anita, we're coming up here on the end of the show. So as Drew was talking about, his book has recently been published. You can get it on Amazon, I believe, for $4.99. You can get it on your Kindle for $2.99. So go get that. It's called The Financial Physical. It's about his life, about his journey.
Jackson.
Yes, sir. Drew.
Hey, you're still there.
I am. I was just telling about your book.
Well, go ahead and keep telling them. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, you missed what I had to say. I said it's about your life, about your journey, and I let them know that they could get it off Amazon.
There you go. Well, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. I must have another. It's so windy up here, so must be our connection. But thanks for joining us on another Wednesday night.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.